Hello, Nancy. Great to have you here.
Yeah. I'm here. Yeah.
We will start chatting until everybody else comes on the board. But I really would like to announce that for those who are new, if you want to speak, we would love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your gratitude, your blessings, your needs, your cares, your celebrations, and those you would like us to pray for. So it belongs in our circle of love. So just feel free to log on. And the way you do it is press *6, then listen for the prompt, and then press 1 to actually enter your name on the board, and we'll see you and call you as the next person in order. And it's as simple as that. We like to start with a chat. Always, as everybody knows, there will be words from Yeshua that will come through for me to convey to you. And I will probably make comments on various comments you made or needs that you have. And so it becomes an inspiring dialogue where we share this community and this love with one another. And we end on our celebration of blessings from Christ and the conveyance of his love to you. And there's really nothing for you to do other than to make yourself available, to be the love that you are, show up, be present in our community, and let him do the rest. Because he loves you, he cares about you, and all he needs is a little bit of interest and consent from you so that he's not taking away from you a challenge that you need to work through for yourself. So you're the one that needs to let him know. And as you tell me, I tell him. It's really pretty simple. And at the same time, it's really powerful. This blessing service for the last 13 years has changed so many lives, has opened so many doors to success, partnering, redemption of life, and union with God, that it has actually made a significant difference in the world. So I'm very pleased to be here and conduct this for you. And Nancy, I know you've been leading a very busy life. Thank you for being here.
Oh, what a blessing. I'm so happy to be here. It's so nice to come together at this time of the day when the sun is just getting a little lower, and, you know, it's just beautiful outside. It's really green here today, and it's just, yes. You know, we're not in our house yet, but we're kind of in our house. So I'm sitting in an unfinished kitchen looking outside at the green grass and or just appreciating this time of the year. It's just wonderful to be together, and it is a blessing. I love what you said. It's just so true. It's so powerful and yet simple. And so, yeah, we'd love everybody to come forth and let us know how these miracles are working in your life and how you feel the power of this blessing in this community and whatever you need. So we're really happy to be together today.
Amen. And I just want to thank the blessing givers for joining in our graduate seminar last week. We had a fabulous time. And the course has been posted on YouTube for you to review as many times as you want to or need to. And I also sent you an email with the links on YouTube. Now, the original links for Zoom are no longer live because that's over. And the recording for the seminar has been posted on YouTube. It's private, and you will need the link that I sent you in order to get in. But there's no password, no funny business, nothing you got to remember or do or dance to the steps. Just click and it'll open it up for you. So I hope you enjoy reviewing. And the ones of you who couldn't make it can now listen to the full unedited presentation of these 2 days. So everybody, I'm so glad to see so many people have come on today. We are blessed by your presence. And let's just open the lines with you people, Nancy, and get started.
All right, let's do it. So welcome, everybody. I think we have Stormy opening it up today. Hi, Stormy. How are you today?
Oh, I'm good. And you just gave me the title to a song I expect someone to produce in the country field. It's called Green Austin.
Oh, great.
That was beautiful. Yeah.
When you said that, I just thought of a piece of music someone's going to write in country and western and call it Green Austin.
Amen. Oh, that is, and of course, they've got to mention the river.
I just send that up in the ethers, and somebody picks it up and writes it. Just like John Denver, when he passed away, I had him come through me and give me his music, and I composed a song. I gave it to the ethers, and a man in Irving, Texas, picked it up and made national attention within 2 weeks after that about writing a song about John Denver. So we can do these things. We really can. We don't have to do everything ourselves. Gives our prayers out there for many other people to pick up and participate in. And that brings me to what I really wanted to say. I wanted to mention the new Jesus Loves Me song that Jesus gave me to so many years ago. And I wanted to say the words, to Christ awareness, I belong. To Christ awareness, I belong. Yes, love, peace and joy. Yes, love, peace and joy. The earth in threefold harmony. I thought that was important to,
that's beautiful,
say those
Stormy.
Words. To say those words again today, you know. The second verse is Jesus of the Trinity comes alive in you and me. And these are the things we're all trying to teach each other, the things he's trying to teach us about ourselves. And it's a blessing to have this communication with the world that you provide that we all can participate in. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for all you do and for being all that you are. There was, you gave me a good entry point for something I wanted that was going to be a focal point of my comments today, because it came to me from Yeshua yesterday. And that is that life never dies. Life can't die. Life is life. It is always alive, always eternal. And the only thing that dies is the material form that we have been worshiping and protecting and embellishing all during our life, when really we should be focusing upon the life that we are and the life we give, the life we share. And just as you spoke of the spirit of John Denver coming to you, how many others did the spirit of John Denver come from? Because he was so alive. This is the miracle of Christ's life, is his life was so full, so abundant, so eternal. The only thing that died on the cross was his body, and even that was just temporary. The life he lived, the life he is, and the reason he needed, and he made this very, very clear to me, the reason he needed to ascend and transcend the material world is so that his life, for as long as it was required, would not be contaminated with tangible existence. It would be free to move around the planet, to all people, for all people, through all people, so that it, and it has done a magnificent job of that. I think our only shortcoming is that we don't receive it enough. We don't ask for it enough. And I would highly recommend that you do just that. You ask him to come to be with you, give you inspiration, guidance, heal your body. It's not the medicine that's going to heal your body. If you're fortunate enough to get good medicine, what it will do, the best that it can do, is to halt or pause the destructive forces that are coming against your body. But that medicine doesn't do the healing. Your body does the healing. The spirit of life within you does the healing. The spirit of God does the healing. The spirit of Christ does the healing. And your own divine inner self does the healing. He made another comment to me when I was thinking about my childhood and how relatively innocent it was. And I say relatively because like any little kid, I could have my tantrums. I could get upset. I could cry. I could feel sorry for myself. You know, every little kid can. Doesn't mean that they're unhealthy in attitude. They're just being little kids. They're frustrated. They're growing up and they're frustrated. Okay. But getting back to how I felt, and I shared it with him. And he said, even to the end of your life, right beneath the surface of your body, you are as innocent as you were in the womb. And I went, really? And he said, yeah. He said, only the surface of your being picks up the thorns, the bruises, the barnacles, and the moss and the the environment and the contamination. It's all on the surface, Linda. Remember what we did with the painting of First Light. You built up and built up and built up, thinking that by adding another layer of surface, you were going to get to the light, and it didn't work. What did we do together? We took off layer by layer by layer until the original innocence showed through. And he said, let that be your guidance of life. And I wanted to bring that back to you today because as we approach Christmas, what we are given, most of all, I think, is the image of innocence. The innocence of Mary, the innocence of her faith, the innocence of the baby waiting to be born, the innocence of the angels and the sheep in the fields, the lambs, and the travel to Bethlehem just because they needed to go. And, of course, the innocence of the babe that was born. We are approaching that moment of the year, which is in sequential following by only seconds, is the midnight of the year. That is the darkest moment of the year and the dawning of the new year. You see, this happens at the winter solstice when our earth has turned its full distance possible away from the sun and then reverses within a second or a millisecond back toward the light. So it is that little doorway where even the light is innocent. The earth is innocent. And we're moving toward a new opportunity for living. So let's prepare within ourselves with a spirit of love, charity, renewal, joyful embracing of community, being there for those who need it, celebrating the gifts of God through the gifts we give to others. All of this is so important for building the spirit toward this change of cosmic years. You know, our calendar year changes, obviously, on January the 1st at midnight. But the cosmic year is about to change on Christmas morning. And that's why we assign his birthday to that day, because it is the birthday of the cosmic year, and he is the bringer of new life to our world. Research, in scholarly research and theological research and all manner of research, has confirmed that if you do take the story of the coming of his birth literally, then you have to take it genuinely with literal understanding. Like, what time of year would there be lambs in the field? And why would so many people be traveling to Bethlehem at a time when winter was at its coldest? You know, we tend to think of at least I know, maybe you are very realistically oriented to this, but as a child or young person, until I did my research, I thought, well, you know, it's not far away from Egypt. It's not far away from the Arabian Desert. It must have very tolerant, mild winters. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's at about the same latitude as Missouri. Missouri has them, and Tennessee. They have among the coldest winters in the United States. Just trace that latitude over, and you will land on Israel. It's cold in the winter over there. The lambs, the mother sheep are not lambing at that time, and the shepherds are not out there. The shepherds have them very close to the barn because the wolves are hungry too, and for people to travel in that weather for miles and miles and miles to get to Bethlehem, well, why were they going? They were going to the Passover. The Passover requires that all Jews go to their birth city for Passover. You celebrate it in the city of your birth. Okay. And that would be in the spring. That would be in the spring. Passover is in the spring. It varies from year to year, because just like Easter does, Easter is tied to Passover, in case you don't know. So it can be as early as sometime in late March. It can be as late as almost any time in April. But it's at a time when the lambs are born. Sorry about that, my dear one. I didn't bring any water with me. Oh, gonna go get some. But getting back to what I'm saying is that this was a year, a time in history, a moment in history, when everyone followed their innocent directions, their instant directives, to arrive at this holy place. And that was later, but we celebrated at the time when the cosmic rebirth happens, because that's where he is now. He rules the universe now. And that is the moment of cosmic rebirth on Easter morning. So it's still a very sacred time. And all of the moments of his life are sacred. But just wanted to add that about innocence and Christmas. And I hope that meant something to you. Nancy, let's bring in our next caller.
Before you go, let me give you this information about Wesley. Give me a call on this telephone number if you want to meet up with Wesley. He is here for the winter.
I don't anytime soon. We'll do that another time. Okay. Yeah.
Bye-bye,
Stormy.
Thank you, Stormy. Okay, Glenda, we have, I think it's Nancy. Is this Nancy?
Yes.
Hi, Nancy.
Blessings for me. My birthday's coming up. But the most important thing for me, I have a number of friends that are going through a lot of things. One, Kathy, who's going through a divorce and trying to get her business back from her husband. Then my friend Amy, who's getting through childhood traumas and letting them go. And then my sister Laura, who is doing great, except for this little thing on her brain. February, they'll maybe be doing a needle biopsy, but the doctor's pretty sure that it's cancer. So, blessings for her. And that's basically it.
Well, that's a lot, but it's a little for him. And we will ask for him to be right on it.
He knows what to do. So.
He does, and he knows how to make it work out in the best possible way.
And thank you for all my blessings, and I count you all as one of my blessings, or many blessings, especially Stormy. I think he's so cool.
Stormy is cool, that's for sure.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Nancy, and thank you for asking on behalf of all these people that are dear to you. We're going to move on, and we have Christopher. Hi, your line's open.
Greetings, everyone.
Greetings.
I think, Glenda, I called in today.
Yeah.
I called in, you know, wondering about surrender and something you mentioned a few weeks ago. Wanted to ask a question, and you partially answered it. By talking about the first light painting and subtracting layer by layer to find the original life and light underneath. But yeah, you mentioned a few weeks ago that in your study of great people, great beings, great souls that have walked on the earth, there was always a moment of surrender that happened before their breakthrough. And I'm noticing a trend in the work that I do with people for the last 20 years. And it seems to be growing, and I'm growing in confidence as Yeshua is guiding me and showing me how it works. But it seems that surrender is really the key, and that relaxing the ego or the mind or the identity that we've created, and continuing to relax and release that, so that this deeper power of our true nature or our true life can manifest. And I just wanted to ask you if you could speak to that and or give some examples of people that you were thinking of when you mentioned this a few weeks ago.
Hi there, Christopher. Maybe she's having a little coughing thing or getting some water. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yeah, Nancy. That's exactly what I was doing. I'm getting some water.
I was like, did I get caught off here?
Well, here's an example. Gautama Siddhartha, who became the Buddha, was a prince. And he was born into royalty and wealth. They wouldn't allow him to look over the gate because that's, by they, I mean his family and the guardians of the palace, would not allow him to look over the wall or the gate to see the people of the village because they were suffering. And of his own determination, he wheedled his way through the various lockdowns that kept him from the wall. And he climbed the wall and looked over the wall. And he said to himself, I will never become who I want to become. living inside this wall. He went out of his own determination, not even taking food with him, not carrying his identity with him. He went out and he told himself and the great spirit of existence, I will live among the people until I am able to contribute to the people. And he did. And he suffered greatly for many years and let go of all of his defenses. He let go of his ego. He let go of his pride. He even admitted to and honored the many failures he had along the way, because he would try this and that ritual, this and that protocol, and it would only get him into the box of that protocol. And he would keep saying to himself, no, I'm behind another wall. And he would, so surrender is not something that the reason I used him as an example is because it's not something that only happens once. Okay? It happens sequentially whenever we think that we have accomplished our life inside the world of construction. And don't think that material existence is not important to the poor. It is. It's not just about being rich and having fine clothes and cars and houses to live in. Material existence is pretty much considered to be the trappings of survival for everyone. And in many ways, the poor cling to it even more because they have so little of it. And when you find yourself in that position, it's easy to build a new wall around yourself that says, well, all right, if I just do this protocol, I'll be fine. And he always caught himself getting into that situation and surrendering again. And finally, his great awakening came when he was sitting under the Bodhi tree, and he came to the realization that the middle way is the only thing I need to surrender to, because, and I'll tell you why, based on everything that Yeshua has taught me, is that we do need some elements of survival. But it doesn't have to be the most important thing for us, and shouldn't be. We do have to have the richer flow of life. And we need to pursue that and understand that life is the only thing really worth having. And if we pursue life, it will eventually circle back and take us, provide our survival. So there is kind of a yin and yang between the needs of survival and the greater expressions of life. And finding that middle ground is all we ever needed to do. But
right.
It's all we ever needed to do. And once we find that place, we get our stride and we're in a position where we can be both charitable and creative, where we can be living for others, yet providing for ourselves. And I would say I'm pretty close to that point myself, because I truly do live for others. Every day it's always about, I get up and I'm living for others, but I also provide for myself in the sense that I, you know, I read the new information on healthy living, good food, great nutrition, natural healing, and I take care of myself. And so I provide for myself mostly in moderation. See, moderation is the key. It's the key. And when you find that, when you get your stride inside of moderation, Christopher, everything starts working. But what blocks you from moderation is primarily ego. Ego, okay, ego is what we created at times when we didn't know who we were.
Right.
Mm. Okay? And it's also the identities given to us by the world to support us and acknowledge our authority in certain life positions or jobs. For example, you're a teacher and you have a degree that grants you that right to teach. You're a doctor and you have a legal license to prescribe medicines and so forth. So we build upon identities that the world has given us that are never enough to satisfy our need for knowing ourselves. Because inside every identity, it's you that will be conscious of your life, and it's you that will create your integrity. It's you that will create your values and your morality, and you decide what's worthy of living for underneath these labels and identities that have been given to you, and underneath the labels you've given to yourself at times when you didn't know who you truly were. Now you add that to one more thing, and it's defense mechanisms. Like, I don't think this group of people is going to like me, so I'm not going to go and be part of that group. I'm going to go over here because these people will like me. Okay. Now, we build up these defense mechanisms because we're worried about who will like me. I suggest that you unwind those decisions by looking at groups and saying, what can I do for them? How can I manage to like them? Mm. How can I manage to like these people or this situation? In other words, throw your arrows of goodness toward other people and don't worry about yourself. You, as a life force, are indestructible. That is the revelation of Easter morning. As a life force, you're indestructible. Now, the one advantage Yeshua had over us at this point, and I'm not saying forever, but at this point, for at least most of us, is he knew how to reassemble the adamantine particles to create a physical evidence that he was there, a physical evidence that, hey, he's back, he's there. But the real message is, I'm indestructible, and so are you. The life force in you is indestructible. So you really don't need those defense mechanisms. And if you go toward any group of people with the intention of liking them, no matter what, there's a 90% chance, or at least a 90% greater chance, that they're going to like you. That's the way it works. Because they want to get rid of their defense mechanisms also.
Mm.
Most people do not want to judge you, Christopher. They do that because they think you might judge them. It's ping pong. There's just a lot of ping pong going on in this world. And we need to put the paddles down. Well, did I add to your understanding?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much. I took notes and wonderful perspective. Yes, yes, yes. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
And remember,
I was just going to add,
I always remember from Love Without End that Yeshua said, life is love in action. And I've always been touched by the scripture where he says, I came to give you life and life more abundant. And like, life, what is life, you know? And you can always tell when you're full of the energy of life when you really are being the love that you are. And you're just, things are humming along, and it's not about the stuff. But then the stuff just comes too, and things get taken care of. So I just love him reminding us about life. What is life? And it's just so precious to know that he came to give us it more abundantly. That's it, you know?
So that's beautiful. It. Life is love in action. That's what it is. And love created the universe, which means it's filled with life. Filled with life. And unfortunately, we tend to focus upon the material structures of creation and ignore the fact that those structures would fall apart without the love that created them.
Thank you, Christopher. Well, Glenda, we have a lot of folks here today. We're so glad you called. I'm going to keep moving along here. Thank you, Christopher. We love you so much. And have
love
a great
you.
Week before Christmas. We'll hope to see you next week. And all right, we've got Caroline. Hi. We're so happy to be here.
Yes, and I, first of all, I want to have some gratitude for, I have a lucky new relationship that's working out very nicely, and
Carolyn, we can barely hear the wind blowing in your phone.
Oh, something's wrong with the phone. How about this? Is this any better?
Well, I would get off of speakerphone. That way, it won't pick up the wind.
I want it on speakerphone, but let me just do it this way.
That's good. That's perfect.
Yeah.
What
How about this?
Perfect.
That's better. Okay. Well, so I just, first of all, some gratitude because I have a lovely new relationship that's working out very nicely, and so
Ooh,
I'm very grateful.
That's great.
Yeah. And so, you know, hope that goes with the way it's supposed to go and creates the best possible good for the two of us. So that's great. And the blessing I wanted to ask for was for Lahaina, because they're still very much suffering with homelessness and loads of people still without permanent homes. But more importantly, they don't know what to do with the toxic debris that came from all the burned homes, you know, with a lot of stuff in it, like asbestos and all of this in the all that debris, and they have the state has got some plans to stick it in some drums near a very precious reef, and there's a lot of opposition to that, and I'm hoping that they manage to find a way to move all that debris off island and don't damage you know, the local environment here, because, you know, all the stuff that they put it in, they don't even know whether the drums that they would put it in will last more than about 15 years or so. So that's that could be very treacherous. So it's a blessing for the island, a blessing for Lahaina, a blessing for, let's hope that there's a very important meeting happening tomorrow about where they're talking about plans to put this debris in, possibly near this very sensitive reef on the west side of the island. So I'm hoping that Jeshua finds a way out of that so that everything is done in a way that is best for Maui.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. So beautiful and so precious. One of the cleanest, most beautiful places left on the earth. We have to keep it that way.
Yeah, and for the people of Lahaina who lost their homes, that they find a way through it and a place to permanent places to live.
Absolutely. Amen.
Okay.
Well, we've got them in our heart. Yeah, we want paradise in our heart. So we've got them in our heart.
Okay.
We sure do.
And
thank
blessings to you, Carolyn. I think it's great. I think you've got a great new future.
Yeah, thank you. I'm looking forward to the recap session in January. So I'll look out for that. That would be fantastic.
Oh yeah,
enjoyed the.
We're working on it. We'll let you know once we've got a date.
Thank you for a great seminar last weekend. That was fabulous.
Yeah,
I loved it. I loved it. It's the beginning of a whole new way. You know, Stephen, who coached me through it, said, you know, you could do this with your blessing calls on Sunday. Some people who don't want to use Zoom or don't know how we can set up a number so they still call in same as they are, but then we'll record the blessing on Zoom, and that's what people can then watch when they come back to look at the blessing call or the blessing. I thought, wow, that is an awesome idea. So I think it was the beginning of something wonderful and new and awesome.
Great. Looking forward to that too.
Yeah.
All right. And
yeah,
Nancy, lots of love.
Lots of love.
So glad you're on the call. And thank you for everything you do as well. Love you all.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Love you too. Yeah. We love you so much. We have Susan. Hi, we haven't heard from you. How are you?
It feels wonderful to be back. I've been doing some family stuff, and there's no way today. I said no one's going to stand in my way. I'm here. I'm in my house by myself, and I'm thrilled to be here. So, I send my love to everybody. And the first thing was Stormy talking about a song. So this wasn't even something I was going to talk about, but so much, you know, when I pick up the phone, I get triggered by all of you. And the first thing I thought of was I happened to turn on Netflix and see this movie called, based on a song and a true story called I Can Only Imagine. And it was about a boy who grew up, you know, really rough family life. His father, he called him a monster growing up. That's how bad things were in his home. And things turn around, and he comes to forgive his father and becomes a famous songwriter, you know, musician. And the song is even on YouTube, but the movie was wonderful too. And I'm always drawn to inspirational. Anything that is inspirational lifts me, and there's so much.
What's the movie called? Susan, what's the movie called?
I Can Only Imagine.
Beautiful. I can only imagine.
You can just Google the song, and the song will come up. The movie is on Netflix, and it's called The Whole Story. It had become one of the most, popular Christian songs millions of people. The story is just beautiful. I recommend it highly. And as I say, God is always leading me to inspiration.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just, it's funny things you spoke about, Glenda, surrender, the idea that you surrender many times. Two things you were talking about that I was working through this week, and I just chuckle hear them. And I'm working through them, you know, speaking and whatever I teach, whatever it is. And you're touching on so much of this, and I go, oh, that's so funny. So, my son's going through a real tough time, and it's very challenging for me. So I want to put his name, Matthew. I want to put his wife's name, who has, her name is Alyssa. She has really serious mental health problems. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of grades, and it's like cancer, you know. You know, you can have stage 1, 2, 3. And she's got some really serious, heavy duty mental problems. I want to put, I think they're going to be going through a divorce, but I want to put her name and a person by the name of Johanna, her name, and put my name on it too, because they can drain the living life out of me. I need that name on the list.
Okay, you got it.
You
got it, Susan. And we love you so much. So
we could all use a good blessing.
All the love that goes with it.
We all do so much work, and we're called to by all of us here, and it can be very draining for all of us. So we all need each other. And a lot of support and love, certainly, from Yeshua and from the community. you know, from all of us that do this. So anyhow,
that's right.
That is the right. Yeah, that is right. So
that's right.
I, you know,
you inspired a comment from me. Can I make it?
Always.
Okay. All right. This is to everybody. When times get hard, or even when they're not so hard, don't go it alone. Just don't go it alone. There are many who love you. There are many who can help you. Bring God into the picture. Bring Christ into the picture. Bring the Holy Spirit into the picture. Bring everybody who loves you into the picture. Don't go it alone. We were not meant to live alone, my friends. We were meant to live with each other and for each other, and to live your life in the good times, being there for others and building the connections that then you will appreciate having when your time for bad weather comes, okay? But this is how we live, to our fullest and to our best, because you, as you move on through life, you want to go with others. You don't want to go alone. You don't want to live alone. Yeah, I know every one of us sometimes just wants to get in some quiet space. It's sort of like, can you leave me alone for just a minute? I'd like to pray. I'd like to take a nap. I'd like to have my own thoughts. Of course, every now and then, everybody thinks those thoughts. But you don't mean it as a way of life. You don't. And you shouldn't. It's not a good way to go. Going together is the way to go. And live your life in the good times in such a way that you can be there for everyone, regardless of what the season is, whether it's summer, high on the mountain time, or the winter, huddled up by a fire type. And so you just inspired that, and this is no way to say that, in just as a response to your life and how you're living it. You're doing great.
I don't think I didn't call on you. In my meditation, I absolutely connected and spoke with you this week.
Did you? Okay, great.
Yeah, of course I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did we hear it? Put time together?
What? So I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled.
I'm just laughing with you, Susan. That did not require a specific answer.
Yeah.
There's so many times when I'm praying, and I'll think about our whole community, and I'll just bring all of you into the prayer. So many times, because I don't even like to pray alone. Because why? Really? Why?
Oh no. Very connected when I'm praying, when I'm non-physically teaching, and I do that, and when I'm non-physically praying and looking to connect and share. Oh God. Yeah.
It's lovely.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Susan. Well, I want to wish you happy Hanukkah. And okay, do you also celebrate Christmas?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well,
without a doubt.
You get two for the price of one.
That's exactly right.
Sure. All right, we love you.
We love you too. We all do. Absolutely. Love you all. So
thank you.
Glad you're happy coming in.
Thank you. Hoping to be in this week sometime. So just in the nick of time. It's all gonna work out. So thank you.
Wow. Wonderful. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Trying to be positive, you know? It's the only way to go. So, all right. Today we thank you, Susan. I'm going to open up another line. We've got some more callers, but I love you.
Sure enough. Love you too.
Glenda, we have Mary. Mary, welcome.
Mary, Mary, oh, so cheery.
Hi. Hi, honey. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Yes. I'm sorry. I have a little thing going on here.
Oh, dear.
I promise I'll be brief so that others can speak. But, Nancy, thank you for all you do for us, and we love you. And Glenda, oh, my gosh, I add you to the top of my blessing list. I just want to bless you in all ways possible for calling us together in this loving light of our beloved Christ for all these years. And I just ask for a blessing not only on your ministry, but on you personally in your needs as our sister. Thank you for everything. And then I wanted to ask a blessing for Maura and Eva from our community, who are just always in my heart. And I, like you, Glenda, I pray for the whole community. I just love you all. And I wanted to ask for a special blessing for a member of our community named Kenny, who blessed me in an extraordinary way. And I want to ask Yeshua to bless him in a most extraordinary way. And then my last blessing is for, so I'm Irish. Sometimes I feel I have to tell a bard's tale, but I'll make it brief. My children have moved away, and the only thing I could find to send everyone this year was a star, but the star meant so much to me because I told my kids, whenever you look up in the starry sky, we'll be together and we'll be blessing each other. So I really wanted my kids to have a star, but I took my oldest son's star to the post office, and I got there at 2:01 and they closed at 2:00 and they wouldn't let me in spite of my pitifulness. So I had to put his star in the box, the mailbox, and that probably wasn't my best thinking. So I just wanted to ask Yeshua if he could bless my star, that my son receives it and that it gets to him okay, and that's all. And I love you guys so much, and sorry, I will move along so others can speak, but God bless you all, and God bless all our stars.
Okay, Mary. Well, you are a star on my tree, so you take care of that cough, okay?
I will.
Right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you too.
Bye.
Hi, Maura.
Hi.
Hey, I'm glad you're here today.
I am too. I'm always glad to be here, and I'm very rarely not here. But I just don't always talk because there are so many that haven't had the opportunity to put their questions in or their desires in for as many years as I've had. And I thank you all, Mary, Christopher, all you who have, Nancy, all of you who are so loving and always saying such nice things. And Eva, well, I could go down the list. And
of course.
How I offer my prayers is for everyone who calls, every blessing giver and every person who calls in for the blessings. And I do have a question, and I'm thinking it's probably not a kind of a simple question, but when you mention Glenda, the natural foods, the natural ways of healing, and mm-hmm. I know that they exist, but I also know that we still live on this planet, and so I have a question about when doctors prescribe medications for you and so on, if that is, if those should be given up to and surrendered, or just surrender to the inevitable human things that we need to do while we're still here. Because we have, this world has, all of us together, of course, have damaged the naturalness of the environment and continue to do so. And so my dream is that all of these pieces are going to come together, and we're going to learn that really we don't need all of that. If you break something, obviously you need to have that mended, and so on. There are many things that you have to take care of, but I don't know if that's, if my question is, does it make any sense? I mean, maybe I'm to figure this
out. I love
out.
It.
Oh.
It's actually a very good question, Laura. It's not as simple, though, as you think it is. It's really not a simple question, but it's a very good one. let me build on by saying, as you just got there saying, we have a very complicated world right now. It exists on many, many layers of industrial intervention with natural processes. And that's been going on extensively for almost 200 years, slightly before the Industrial Revolution. We didn't have all the chemicals, but we were, burning coal and other forms of fuel that were affecting the environment. So let's just say we've got that to deal with, and you can't brush it aside. Right now, our whole infrastructure would just crumble if we tried to brush it aside. We have to work within it. So let's just say, I think the first step we need to take, the first step everybody should take and can take, is to understand that medicine can arrest the advances we made in medicine can arrest a disease. It can't cure the body. Okay, let me give you one example. When the so-called cure for pneumonia was created, well, since that time, millions of people have been spared their life because there was no way. Once the complications within the lungs progress to a critical stage of pneumonia, people just didn't and couldn't survive. So, all right, the creation of penicillin stopped the process But after the process of illness, which was impinging upon the body's immune system and destroying tissue in the body and threatening the life of the body, once that was eliminated, then the curing happened. And the curing, as always, has to be natural. Always. We have misnamed medicine as curative. It's not. It's arrestive is what it is. Medicine is arrestive. You have treatments for cancer that are arrestive, but they don't teach your body how to heal from cancer. Okay? There were medicines that... Okay.
This is wonderful.
Yeah, that arrested tuberculosis. And now it's not a threat at least in our part of the world. It's not a threat, but it doesn't cure the body. After the disease is arrested, then the body needs to take over and heal. So this is the first step we can place for natural medicine. Bring it into the curative process and change the definition of medicines. We do not want to get rid of the type of medicines that have been genuinely demonstrated to arrest a disease. Those that actually arrest a disease and stop the deterioration and threat to the body are valuable. Okay, let's be glad we have them. Let's thank God we have it. Let's thank God for the men and women who discovered them and implemented them. Let's be thankful that we have them, but let's name them what they are. You will be cured by, well, essentially and ultimately by love, because you will be cured because you are eating food filled with love, the right kind of food. You will be cared for others who love you. You will be cared for in an environment where your love can flourish. You will get back to the things you love. You could make a list of somewhere between 20 and 100 forms of love that will contribute to your curative state. And it has always been that way. Always. Medicine, our modern medicines took what I would call kind of a bully position, where they claimed such an importance in our lives for saving the lives of so many people that it formed institutions of enforcement around them. And we saw that all the way through with the CDC, through the COVID epidemic, we saw systems of enforcement claiming to be the only pathway to safety in the direction of health. Well, first of all, we didn't really have anything that was curative, but even if we had, it's still up to the body to do the curing. The only thing medicine can do is arrest a negative condition. That's it. And I think just on the basis of propositions and goals and postulates for betterment, if we will take a more positive position on healing our body, well, let's take something as simple as the flu, okay? Probably everybody you know has had the flu at least once in their life. And there are only a few medicines that really are effective on the flu. Mostly the doctor would tell you to go to bed for 3 days and drink lots of fluid and take vitamin C. And those are good recommendations for sure. But let's just say like zithromycin, that is an antibiotic. And so it's not going to have much effect on the flu, but it can keep you from developing bacterial complications that sometimes can occur when your immune system is weakened by the flu. And for me, that's a good thing because I'm very susceptible to bronchitis. So if I get the flu, and I have a doctor who knows my case very well, he will prescribe zithromycin because that will prevent or correct bronchitis. But okay, so we prevent or correct bronchitis. I've still got to do my work. I've still got to eat right, provide plenty of vitamin C, you know, keep my throat hydrated and coated with honey or whatever I choose to cut down the inflammation, be sensible, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we still do the healing. And don't let anybody ever take that away from you. You still do the healing. Your body does the healing. God does the healing. And with our loving connection with Christ, we ask for his participation. He comes in and he adds to the healing. Okay. And the more we do that, then I would say little by little, we will also start eliminating the complications of life that bring on the diseases in the first place. So I think we need to work backwards, but we need to start with acknowledging who does the healing.
I always liked your when you told us that we do have conditions, but we are not the condition.
That's right.
And that, I remind myself of that many times. This was...
Don't identify. For everybody, don't ever identify with a negative condition.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. Well, this has been very helpful. I really appreciate it. And thank you. Again.
You're welcome. And I've got one comment for you. After listening to this, your voice changed. Your voice became stable. It became soft. It became strong.
Oh.
Just hearing this has already had an effect on you.
Oh, yes. Well, it always has an effect on me, I think.
Good.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You take care now. Okay.
All of you.
We love you, darling. Thank you. So glad you brought that up.
Thank you.
Such a great topic.
I think it was helpful for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I remember once, Glenda, you shared the story about a woman who wouldn't go get some support from others, and you're like, God can work through anything. And I love that, you know. Everything is done from a higher level, and that surrender, and on every level, not even just the body, all the emotional stuff, the traumas in the body from past, everything is healed at a higher level, and isn't it beautiful we have access to that? I just love that.
Thank you. You know, my, I feel for me, due to many reasons, that the most exciting and the most rewarding and restorative part of all of these teachings has been my psychic condition that I was in before I started studying this work seriously. And thought, if I can do, if Yeshua can haul me out of it like he did, he can do it for anybody.
Amen. He sure can.
Thank you again.
You're welcome, and we love you, Mara. Merry Christmas.
I love all of you very, very much.
You know, now next week's thing, we're doing the blessing. Uh-huh. We're going to get to really do a Christmas Eve blessing.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So let's all be here, okay?
and blast it out.
Yes. Yes, Nancy.
You're going to put on Christmas Day, did you say?
No,
no, Christmas
Sunday.
Eve.
Christmas Eve.
Oh,
Christmas is,
yes,
Monday.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, thank you, Mara. And Glenda, we have one more caller, Francesca. Thank you, Mara. I'm going to open Francesca's line now. Hi, Francesca.
Hello. Hi. So nice to be here with all of you. Thank you so much for all this inspiring conversation, which is always so incredibly uplifting. And I'm so grateful to be able to be here and listen and learn to everything. So thank you so much. And I'm just going to ask for another blessing for myself as I'm still recovering from COVID. I'm getting better. But just for continued recovery, I'm also dealing with, my mother had fallen in, came out of rehab and now is just requiring, a lot of assistance. So just trying to juggle, you know, my own health and being able to help her. So I just asked for a blessing for that as well. So thank you.
Okay. Well, we sure will include her.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. I noticed that we lost, Helen was on our board and we lost her somehow. If you wanted to speak, Helen, come back on, just *6 and come back on.
Francesca, thank you, and you're going to be feeling better next week. We know it. Oh, there's Helen.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We love you, Francesca.
Thank you.
I hope you,
you
have a great
thank
week.
You. Thank you, you
and
too.
You...
Thank you, Glenda.
So... Bye-bye, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Helen, your line is open.
Hi, everybody. Well, I was responding to what you were saying about you know, not doing it alone and asking Jesus for help even with the slightest things. And so one day I was sweeping in the kitchen and I noticed a piece of paper on the floor. And I swept all around it. I kept looking at it. I knew what it was. I knew it was a message. So I pick it up and I have no idea where it came from. And it said, I will give you a new heart with new and right desires, and I will put a new spirit in you. It's Ezekiel,
yeah,
something. And I thought, oh my gosh, really? Thank you. So I knew it was from him. And my relationship is increasing. However, I want a blessing to stop being indulgent in the layabout. Because sometimes I know he's waiting for me. I look at the picture of Yeshua. And I know I'm the one holding back of getting...
Uh-huh.
Breathing and meditating. So I want a blessing in helping to let go of the habits of being a sloth and to increase my willingness to sit quietly and know that he is God. You know that saying, be still and know that I am God. That's...
Yes.
I want that more and more.
Put that on a piece of paper and tack it on the wall.
Okay. All right, so, and then it's like, okay, I mean, and then I think to myself, I've got to become like a little soldier. I've got to, every day I've got to start right. I've got to meditate. I've got to really just, everywhere I am, there he is, I've got to connect. And I'm thinking, what happens? Is he judging me for when I don't? Yeah, that's another
one.
Self-condemnation.
Nothing will change when you don't.
What did you say?
I said nothing will change when you don't.
Oh, there you go. Touche. Be still and know,
uh-huh,
that I am God. Okay, I'll put it everywhere. I'll
it's
put
not.
It in the bathroom, in my refrigerator. I love that because you know what? That has been my desire all my life long, to connect with God.
Well, that's been his desire for you your whole life long. He wants you even more than you want him.
Yeah, it's difficult to think that we have to always ask. We have to give him permission all the time. I mean, you've got my permission once and for all, dear God. Yes, you've got my permission. Just don't appear suddenly in front of me because I don't think I could take it. I'll probably die on the spot.
Let me give you an example that I know you can understand.
Okay.
You walk out. Let's say you've got some chickens, and some little baby chickens have just hatched, and you want to go out to the chicken house. You want to see the new baby chickens. You walk up to them, and they scurry away from you.
Uh-huh.
Well, you came to them totally out of love, totally out of affection and desire to see these wonderful, brand new little expressions of life. Okay. You bend down and you reach toward them and they pull back, but you give them the back of your hand, not the front of your hand. You curl your hand around and you just extend your hand toward them and you don't go any further. You wait until they come and peck on your hand because they're scared of you and they don't know what you want. Well, that's the way our Heavenly Father is toward us. He's always reaching for us, but he's going to let us come and peck on his hand first. Because he wants us to be in our confident state of faith and glory when we touch upon him.
Man.
He's not going to force himself on you. Would you force yourself on one of those little precious baby chickens?
No, I would be gentle and get them to. I would feed them is what I would do.
Well, yeah, but you would scatter the food. You wouldn't hold them in your hand and put the food down their mouth.
No.
Would you?
No.
Of course not. The same with little kittens. Little puppies. You give them a chance to be curious about you. Because then you know you've got the basis for a relationship. I'm giving some examples that are very real, Helen, about how God feels about you. He thinks you're just adorable. He loves you. He wants to hug you, but he's not going to overreach you because he wants you to come to him because he respects you. That's respect, Helen. God respects you.
Okay.
And the way you respect him is you trust him. All relationships of every kind are built upon mutual trust. All right?
Okay.
They're all built on mutual trust. You reach for somebody and you see if they reach back. They reach toward you, and they don't reach too much because they respect you. They want to see if you reach back. And little by little, you build strong personal relationships.
Yeah. Sometimes, Glenda, I think of the original sin as that, you know, lacking trust, that we just simply stop trusting completely, you know, if there's such a thing, you know.
Well, it is. Mm. It is. And, you know, this is something that parents have to learn in order to be good parents. Is they've got to cultivate trust. They've got to trust their little kids to be in charge of their own life, little by little, not everything at first, of course. And the little child has to learn to trust their parents, to not interfere with their life. To trust their parents, to do the right thing for them, to guide them in the right way. And back and forth, trust from this direction, trust from that direction. It builds a tight, strong relationship.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you,
you're welcome.
Thank you.
Well, Glenda.
Well, thanks for coming online, Ellen. We always love hearing from you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, everybody. Everybody have a great Christmas. And I think we're getting together on Christmas Eve, did you say?
Well, yes. Next Sunday is Christmas Eve.
Oh, really? I didn't. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Same for me.
Isn't that wonderful?
Okay. Good. So the time is the same then.
Yeah.
Yes.
Time is the same.
Okay. Wonderful.
Yeah. You'll receive a notice in the mail. Okay.
Well, thank you, and take care, everyone.
Absolutely.
Okay. A great company to look at is Safrax.com.
Is what?
Safrax.
What?
S-A-F as in Frank, R as in Robert, A-X, Safrax.com.
Safrax, okay.
Yeah, for people's colds, for people's issues with a cold.
Oh.
And also it cleans all kinds of stuff. I spray it all over. I have one cat. You know what? I have to add that to my blessing for Jesus to heal this cat. He's, I think, old, and he's got a urinary tract infection. I've taken him twice to the vet. And still he insists on peeing right where I sit. So now I put all kinds of paper towels there so he pees on that. And then I spray it with a chlorine dioxide spray to get rid of the smell. And so anyway, that would be nice if he would be healed of this because he's a very sweet cat.
Okay.
And he insists on sitting behind me. He's sitting behind me now and I'm perched on the edge of my armchair or my office chair. So.
Oh, dear.
Yeah,
okay.
And I realized today, you know, I think he needs more love. I'm not giving him enough attention.
That's it. He's insecure.
Yeah, I think so.
He's marking territory because he's insecure.
Yeah, and he's so timid. It's amazing. Yeah.
That's it.
Okay, I'll give him special attention.
All right. We'll talk later about that, Helen.
Thanks.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
Okay, let's all of us get ready to move into our blessing. We had great conversations, and I really, really like how much that our members contribute to the outreach and the understanding, because that means that what we're talking about is relevant. It's really relevant to you. You know, I could talk about a lot of things, because Yeshua and I have a lot of conversations every week, and there's a lot of things I could talk about. But what is relevant to you is what we need to talk about. And you make that possible. You make it. You bring the right vibe into our community. All right. Well, everybody, I am going to move us into all right. And we're gonna shorten our prep time a little bit today, because we did go quite a bit over the 4 o'clock mark, but we're not going to shorten everything. In your own space, wherever you are, I want you to stretch every one of your extremities. By that meaning your arms, your legs, your toes, your fingers, your neck, turn it. Okay, take just a few minutes and get everything moving. If you can stand, stand and move and kick your legs a little bit and swing your arms a little bit. Get that energy flowing through your body. Bend forward and bend back. Bend sideways from one side to the other, because the blessing is coming to you from non-material space, but it travels inside the material universe as vibration. Vibration is energy. And be prepared to receive the energy. And the classic illustration of the Holy Spirit conveying with energy is in the book of, the book of Acts in the New Testament, where on the festival of Pentecost, the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit in such a way that
there were flames on their shoulders. And without even knowing what they were speaking, they began to utter speech that was spontaneous from the soul. That's how powerful the energy was. So many times people had received the Holy Spirit, and it was so powerful they would have to lie down, or some of them fell to the ground. It is a powerful energy, and that's why I want you seated. But I also want you seated for another good reason, if sitting is possible, okay? And that is because you're going to draw energy from the earth and from the heavens. From the heavens, it will come through your head, down through your body, circle around your heart, and out through your feet into the earth. The earth will receive it and add her blessings to it and send it back up from your feet through the top of your head and out. And this will go back and forth for many times because it's extremely fast. It moves at the speed of light or faster. So you won't feel it as a vibe, but it is. And it travels electromagnetically. The energy of the cosmos is extremely propelling. The earth is extremely magnetic, and it just moves back and forth and back and forth. But what it carries is the presence of the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ, and the grace of God. And this Trinity, this Holy Trinity moving through you, is kind of like a vacuum cleaner on the one hand. And on the other hand, it's a great blessing that enriches your being with potential that may not be activated for days or weeks or even months, but it will be activated. So you have enriched potential, and you have a powerful cleansing spiritually that occurs simultaneously through the blessing. It can't help but bless your life. It cannot help but create solutions for your life, inspirations for your life, resolutions for your life. Sometimes people have been completely cured, or cured of depression or hopelessness, and they walk into the light and they see tomorrow as truly a new day. It will be different for each person, and I can't tell you what it will be, but it will be these three persons of divinity. It will be the grace of God, the love of Christ, and the divine cleansing energy of the Holy Spirit. So I want you now just to take a very deep breath. Expand your diaphragm and your lungs. Hold it for a few seconds. And then let go of it in such a way that your whole body just kind of collapses upon your pelvic region and your diaphragm relaxes. Now let's do that again. Fill your body with air. Okay, and now let it go. Now just begin gentle breathing, rhythmic, mindfully. Exhale with attention to giving. Pause. Inhale with your attention to receiving. Pause and receive, and then exhale. And just a gentle, normal breath that puts you in a very relaxing exchange with life. Okay. I will offer my prayer to Yeshua. Then you will offer your prayers as the blessing givers convey this holy energy. Yeshua, Lord of life, Master of existence, teach us the ways to live above the demands of existence. that we may have a fully enriched life where there is abundance for us and more than enough to share. Be with us as we live our life in all of the ordinary ways and allow the gifts of our life to become extraordinary. We ask that you be with those who are suffering, those who are afraid, those who are hungry, that the provisions of life may be given to them and nurture them to become whole again, confident, faithful, and restored to their humanity. And we ask that you restore our humanity to its greater self, that together we can be a family that loves itself, that cares for itself, and reaches our optimum potential for unity, creation, and grace. We ask that you bless our health. We ask that you teach us how to heal. We ask that you bless our minds, that we may think good thoughts and positive ways of living. And most of all, we ask that you bless our hearts, that we may have compassion and strength for living and live our life not only for ourselves, but for others, and use our heart as an instrument to extend the love of God on earth. We surrender now to your love, the grace of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit to move through us and give us benevolent, enriched, and great blessings. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now in offering the blessing?
Amen. Amen. And amen. Blessings be unto you. Your blessing has been given. Now it's time for you to go and receive. You do that by lying down in a state of surrender. This is where you're the most open. And allow your state of heart and mind to be blank so that God may do the talking. God may write on the whiteboard of your life. End your prayer. You can pray again later, but not now. Now it's time for God to be the one who speaks to you. I wish you a very blessed week, and I look forward to being with you again next Sunday, which is Christmas Eve. How blessed we are for that. Bye-bye. Bye-bye for now.